What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man Sam, host of the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Hey, we got a good one coming up for you. But first, let's knock out some of these bills. And then we're going to talk to improv master himself, PJ Jacokes. First off, I want to say thanks to all of those who went to SamShowNation.com for all things you need of the Just Talk with Sam podcast, SamShowNation.com. And hit that donate button, man. You guys made it easier for us to podcast. You got us with the Janet Jackson headsets. You guys are knocking down some server costs, and you're making the free funny. Well, you're kind of keeping the free funny free. Those who haven't, you can always go to Just Talk with Sam. Excuse me. SamShowNation.com. Click the donate button on the homepage or the current promotions page and just give as you normally would, whatever you think makes you feel like a good person. Give. I think the parameters for that is somewhere from $1 to $3.5 billion if you just got it laying around the house. Go ahead. Go ahead. Support the podcast. Keep the free funny free. Second form of business, I want to say this show is, we got three sponsors this week. First sponsor goes to the good folks at Hotels.com. Hotels.com. Hotels.com has over 150,000 hotels in more than 60 countries with over 3.5 million hotel reviews to help you find the best deal in the right location. Whether you travel last minute, traveling with the family, or you just need to get away from people, Hotels.com is the way to go. The best way to do Hotels.com is go to SamShowNation.com under current promotions link. Click the big Hotels.com link and book your travel locations. They have the right hotel deal for you. Don't forget, they got our price match guarantee. And even on the last minute deals, no charge for changing or cancel fees from Hotels.com. Great way to ease your mind. We helping you get away at SamShowNation.com. So go to current promotions, click that link. Holidays are coming up. You don't want to crowd their house. You don't want to be that weird guy that, you know, wakes up at 3 in the morning because you got to go to the bathroom. Then you have to pantomime your way to their bathroom, have them kick in the door and wonder who the hell it is in their house, and they remember they had a house guest. You don't want to go through that stress. And that probably isn't a personal story. So go to SamShowNation.com, click the Hotels.com link, and just book a hotel. You'll get them in the morning, and you'll probably get a place with a continental breakfast and no embarrassing bathroom stories. Only way to help you out, man. Our next sponsor is the good folks at Man Great. So Man Great UX. Man Great is the ultimate tool for all my grillers out there. Summer's right around the corner. All you need to care and perfectly grill whatever you're grilling, your steaks, your chicken, your fish, your vegetables, whatever you put on the grill, you want to put it on the Man Grate. Man Grate sear meats, vegetables with restaurant signature grill marks and professional look and taste. Their radiant design gives you even heat and reduced flare-ups. And the Man Grate's cast iron design helps you cook instead of using convection heat, using like a hot air juices. So your meat is literally cooking its own juices. And quite honestly, for all my patrons out there, it's made in America. What? Made in America? The Man Grate is American-made, heavy-duty, cast iron design. Makes it virtually indestructible. And quite honestly, if you take care of it, last a lifetime. Now, you may be saying to yourself, if I bought a Man Grate, that would cost me about $50, $60. Probably. But if you go through SamShowNation.com, click the Man Grate link, it will be for the low, low price of $19.95 plus shipping and handling. So go ahead, get yourself a Man Grate, cook you up something. Summer is right around the corner, and you don't want to be the guy with the dry steak because, well, quite honestly, people make fun of you. They talk behind your back. They do. I have done it. So, yeah, dry steak people, it is what it is. We like our meats. So, and lastly, the great granddaddy of them all, the good folks at Amazon.com. Let's face it, y'all. The internet is whatever the internet is. People only use the internet to Google something, look for porn, or shop. Now, With Amazon, you can do all three.
No, I'm kidding. Well, you can, but, you know, I'm not suggesting.
Well, whatever. It's your internet, just like it's mine. The only thing I ask you to do is go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link, and shop as you normally would. I ain't going to lie to you. You get a little bit of a kickback, but you keep the podcast rolling. You keep the free funny free. It's the best way to keep the podcast going. It's win-win. You could go ahead and shop as you normally would. And just go through SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link, and you can just do that. Shop as you normally would. Something that Mangrate doesn't have. Something that, you know, it is what it is. You know, you shop for whatever you want to shop for. Maybe you need a hard drive. Maybe you need a baby carriage. Maybe you need a hat or an iron or whatever. I'm pretty sure Amazon has it. And the best way to do it is go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link, and shop as you normally would. All right. My guest for this show is Mr. PJ Jacobs. You may know him as the owner, producer, director at Go Improv Comedy Theater. We finna sit down with him, talk about improv comedy, talk about his starts, his stories, get into it. Hilarious dude. If you have never been to Go Improv Comedy Theater, not just him. Also, he could be heard on the Flight 1977 podcast, or you could just go to flight1977.com. And you can hear him regularly on that podcast. So podcast to podcast, so you already got that right there. And then on top of that, you can see him live any day of the week, pretty much at Go Improv Comedy Theater. And you can check him out right there in Ferndale, Michigan. But I'm going to stop talking for about 90 seconds so we can properly introduce our guests. Let's play the theme and let's go ahead with the hilarious PJ Jacobs. This is Just Talk With Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk With Sam Podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be a pop.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
If you're on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all are listening, we never write this out.
We're recording now. Yeah, whatever. All right, yeah, we're recording now at this point. I'm here with Just Talking With Sam Podcast with, I got to throw your credits out there, co-owner, producer, and teacher at the Go Comedy Improv Theater, Mr. PJ Jacobs. Please tell me I got it right.
Jacobs.
Like, I thought you hit the O in Cokes hard. All right, three seconds in, bad start. All right, here we go.
I've been called worse.
PJ Jacobs. Did I do it again? Because I like, all right, PJ Jacobs.
There you go.
All right, good enough. All right, third time's a charm, man. Man, thanks for coming on the podcast and talking some shit with Sam. And this is it. I really wish I could start off a little bit better. All right, look, we're less than a minute into it. Fucked up the name. All right, I'm just going to get into the first question.
All right.
I mean, like, you're a fan of comedy, sure. Just like I wrote in the email that got you here in the first place. I'm a fan of comedy. You excel at improv comedy. My little fanboy is coming out. Yeah, I did some homework. I've looked at it on YouTube, and I've researched your stuff. I should have, you know, if I'm going to have you sit in
front of me.
Right.
Yeah, this would be the quickest podcast ever if I if I didn't even know who you are. Hi, I'm here. But I got to ask, how did... All right, this is a long-winded way to say, how did it start? Your love for comedy, love for improv?
Well, I mean, well, comedy, I mean, my dad showed me movies when I was a kid, with Monty Python and Johnny Carson. And so, I mean, comedy's always been around, but improv I didn't really find until I was like 18. Mm-hmm. And I was in a band I was so uncomfortable on stage, but I liked to perform, so I took an improv class.
Okay.
Just to try and like loosen up and not look so stiff and dull, and I fell in love with it right away, and I've been doing it ever since.
I gotta say, like, with bands, I've talked to a lot of bands and stuff. Band members are a little bit more comfortable on stage because they can hide behind whatever instrument, or if you're a singer, in which case you can hide behind the mic, or you can hide behind your art, or you... I found it weird that, you know, somebody came out and just said, not weird, but comforting, I guess, in a way where someone said they was finally weird on stage.
I'm so introverted.
What'd you play?
Bass.
Okay.
Yep. And just being, I mean, even now, like, being in front of people is weird.
Seriously?
Off stage and on stage are two super different worlds for me.
Please elaborate. That beats whatever question I have here, so fuck that. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, off stage, I'm very quiet and shy and don't, you know, I don't enjoy being the center of attention. And then, you know, when I'm on stage, it's a very different world. But as soon as I'm, like, when I do a show, when I'm done, if I didn't have to see the audience, I would just leave out the back door every time.
How? This is weird because I've seen you. I've been to Go Comedy, yeah. And I've seen, this is a revelation to me. You seem like, okay, when I'm up here, I'm in my zone, I got it,
oh, yeah.
And this is me all the time. It's like you're so comfortable with it. It's like it's in your blood. You can do this. So, all right. You also teach.
Mm-hmm.
So do you deal with these people as well? Do you deal with the stiffies, or do you deal with the people who, like, I need to be a center of attention, and you're going to help me make this epic?
Oh, yeah. Everybody. There's even a couple of therapists that send their patients to us because, the thing about improv is that...
You're our last hope. Yeah, you're the therapist. Like, you're the last thing we could probably. It's okay to laugh on the podcast, yeah. Bro. You can laugh, man. It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. You can laugh.
But they, yeah, I mean, because
this is not 2020 whatsoever.
I wanted hard hitting news.
All right, I'm not. I am not.
You know,
I'm barely a journalist. The only reason. Go ahead,
but yeah,
please.
So, but we get, I mean, all kinds of people that come to take classes, and there are people that, you know, want to be famous, and there are people that just want to, you know, a lot of people that, you know, have moved to Detroit who don't know anybody and want to make friends, and, or, you know, it's for their careers, you know, it's good for public speaking or just self-confidence, so it's, I mean, the classes, we really do get a real wide spectrum of people that come to take those classes.
Okay. You ever had anybody to go through the class and become like, oh my God, we got to get them on stage tonight?
Maybe not tonight, but...
like someone who has so much raw potential and talent, you're just like, oh, we have to cultivate that and become our own.
Yeah, I mean, the system that we have set up at Go is, you know, the classes kind of feed into the launch groups, which feed into the main stage company. So it's set up so that people train and learn, and, you know, if they're good at it, we keep them in the system and give them opportunity, and but with improv, it's not a skill that many people just have. You know, it's you learn how to do it, you learn how to hone it, but it's not. You know, people are funny when they show up, but that doesn't necessarily mean they know how to work together or they know how to, you know, play a game. So there's still a lot of training that goes into it. So even if someone does show up and they're hilarious, it still takes a year or so to.
I like having you on the podcast because now you're going to help out with a lot of stuff that for the last 3 years we aren't able to ask. You're the first, believe it or not, you're the first improv guy.
Wow.
Now, we've had stand-ups show up.
Yeah.
We've had stand-ups from improv backgrounds and stand-up. But the thing I'm getting is like this invisible civil war between stand-up and improv. Stand-up is like, yeah, it's just me, man.
It's yep. just me, and from my understanding. And improv, guys, is like, it's a team sport. It's like...
Yep. It's someone, baseball versus golf.
Oh, okay. Please, I mean, elaborate. Well, yeah,
all
right.
You know, golf is all about focus. It's all about doing your own thing. It's, you know, you can train on your own. Baseball, you need a team to play it. Mm-hmm. You can try and play with just one person, but it's just you throwing the ball up and hitting it yourself. So, I mean, it's all about the team. It's all about working together. So, I mean, in a way, it's a lot like being in a band, just without the instruments to hide behind.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Hey, way to break it full circle there. Instruments to hide behind. Look at that. You are a podcast, goddammit. Well, let's just jump into that next question. You also have a podcast as well. Unfortunately, throughout my research, I wasn't able to listen to an episode, but I did enough research to know you got one.
Right.
But do you push that on the podcast, like the joys of improv, or is that, what is it like? What is your podcast based on?
So our podcast is called Flight 77 Nonstop, and originally it was a stage show, and it's me, Matt Noss, and Brian Lark, and on stage we would ask the audience for a destination to fly to,
mm-hmm.
And then we would get on a plane and, you know, have a conversation on the plane. And it was never characters. It was always just us talking about growing up in Metro Detroit or improv or music or, you know, kind of our shared experience. And then at some point, I met a guy named Eric Hankey, who had his own podcast and he interviewed me for his podcast.
Okay.
And then from there, he started recording Flight 77 as a podcast. And we've done, I think we're at episode 98.
Good.
Matt got sent to China for work, so we're on a 2-month hiatus while he's...
You are never... do you have that, like, I'm never going to hit 100?
So close, yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah, I had that vibe, too. When I hit 100, I'm like, all right, I got to unplug this shit, right?
Yeah.
I got to plug... No, but that is a real emotion you have. Like, all right, done with it.
Yep.
But... Okay, well, we talked about the actors that comes up through the program. What about the other side, the other spectrum, those who finish the program, but you don't really want to see them on stage? What do? You just kind of like, hey, you got confidence, right? All right, go on.
I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, there's the balance of it. Because, people that take the classes and, you know, live happier lives and, you know, learn more about who they are and go out and, you know, there are people that, you know, that run companies or are copywriters or, you know, do mm-hmm. other things in advertising, and those people that don't necessarily want to be on stage but live happier, that's, I mean, frankly worth more than the people that are brilliant at it and, you know, I can hire. So, I mean, it really, no matter what path people go down, I'm pretty pleased.
Have you ever had returning students come back and just say, oh, thank you. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to land the Morgan account because of you.
not quite the Morgan account.
Oh, man, you can't get that Morgan account.
You know, but like job interviewing especially, like mm-hmm. improv is a great skill for that. So I've had people that, you know, have come back to me and taught me about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ask for a piece of the check? You were like, all right, well, now that you got that,
no, I'm not,
here's my cut.
On that side, no, but on, you know, I've got an agreement. If anyone ever gets famous, they owe me a cheeseburger. But
that's
want lunch.
How many cheeseburgers you got?
None yet.
Not one?
I'm only 5 years old.
I mean, but damn, I mean, by now you could raise, I mean, the next Molly Shannon could come out of there. There's something.
One day. We're young. We're 5 years. We'll get there.
All right, speaking about you guys being young, this whole thing started from just doing my homework. If I'm full of shit, just tell me. Because not only did you fall in love with improv, but you have coined the phrase, you're an imagination enthusiast. You love imagination, thus your love for improv comedy. Please stop me from talking, because you know this more than I do. It's you. I mean, you can...
I don't know if I coined a phrase or not, but...
I've seen it. I've watched you do it. It's on YouTube.
Is it really?
I can show you the link.
All right. yeah, I mean, I going back to being a kid again, you know, learning how to make believe and using that in your everyday life is, I think... You know, it's how you stay young. That's the secret of the Fountain of Youth. You know,
so you're five,
nine.
Okay.
My son is eight. So I'd
okay. Yeah, you want to be a year above him.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But that sense of play, I think, is really important. And you know, on a on like a spiritual level, even I think that you know you can boil it down. You can boil improv down to it's about being positive and learning to play, and you know if that's if you live your life kind of in that within those parameters, I think you know you live a pretty happy life.
Okay, give me an example of like imagination, like do you please just something that you would do to get someone to loosen up as they go through the class, just kind of like teaching them the foundations of improv.
You know, we do a lot just to make them kind of comfortable in their own skin. We teach them to, you know, the idea of learning to be okay with failing. So we do lots of different exercises, and you know, the ones they don't get, it's okay that they don't get it. It's not about, you know, getting the correct answer or being perfect at it. It's about trying and feeling yourself out. So, you know, there's an exercise that we do. One of the first things we ever do is just get to meet people. So we have, you know, students interview each other. With the goal being, you can't be you can't make anything up. It's got to be
completely real.
Completely real. All right. Because you know, at the basis of all of it, you got to be a real person. And so once we kind of get to know people, we you know have them walk around like robots or dragons or princes and cowboys and snakes or you know just getting back to that place that kids are at where they don't. You know, they don't worry about what kind of snake it is. They're just a snake.
Okay.
You know, it's not, there's no judgment there. And as adults, there's always judgment. There's always a voice in the back of your head that's, you know, correcting you. Or
she's
or,
right over there.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's the one in here that's even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the one that, you know, that stops you from, I think, you know, really doing it. Or, you know, even, you know, you clearly have done your homework on me, which is fascinating.
Okay.
But, you know, there's the, is it enough? Or is it, you know, do I have all the right questions? Did I miss anything? You know, that sense of, like, uncertainty. That
wait, you give homework? It just occurred.
No, I meant your homework.
Oh, okay. I'm like, all right. Look, it's my homework on you, anyone can do.
Sure.
Anyone with a Google account, anyone with fucking high speed internet access can figure out everything that's on this paper. And I'm actually trying not to look at the paper because there are stock questions. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about being real and being how you just did? Everything I just wrote is Googleable, but that I thought was interesting.
Right.
But if you totally blew my mind with something right now, fuck this paper. Like, I'm done with this paper.
Right.
Like, if you were just like, well, this was that one time I made love to all the Jacksons. Like, all of them. Randy, Tito.
Even the dead ones.
Michael.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't dead. Well, good. Let's not get gross. I mean, Bo, Action, Alan, Jackson.
Both in football and baseball.
Yeah, right? Well, he's more than a two-sport athlete now, if you know what I mean. Bo knows, guys. So, I mean, like, that's the type. Because, honestly, with improv... I've heard you say this too. I try to improv because, you know, sometimes you gotta lie. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, maybe it's a good time to lie. And that's where them improv skills come in for the everyday person instead of someone who may have that situation for a job interview or the boss or whatever. Sometimes you just need a good lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and with either with a, you know, with a job interview or just making it up, it's about performing confidence. It's, you know, whether you believe it or not, if you can perform it as if it's true, you can get away with, you know, a lot.
Okay. So bringing it back a little bit, and I guess this is like a Tarantino movie. I'm going backwards and forwards.
Sure.
And all right, when you talked about when you were in a band, did you quit the band to do improv, or was it just kind of like, all right, now that I have this improv training, I could get back and really play some bass?
Yeah, you know, yes.
Okay.
So I was in the band for a couple of years still, and then they moved to Chicago, and I was going to move with them, and then I got hired into the Second City Detroit, into the touring company.
Okay.
And I had to decide, do I stay in Detroit and do I stay in Detroit, which is known for bands, and do improv, or do I go to Chicago to be in a band where improv is king?
And that's what I was just going to get. Like, yeah, that's a hell of a decision because, like, in Detroit, and I love that, I say this with love, but I can throw a rock and hit a musician.
Right. Everywhere.
And if you go to Chicago, it's the same way. I could throw a rock and hit someone probably from the Growlings. Right. I could probably hit someone. Like, depending on when you throw it.
Yep.
If you're throwing it north, you're going to hit one of those guys. You're going to hit one of the Second City guys. Who knows? And then you had the, like, Black Improv. It was like Chocolate Thursdays or something. It's weird, but it's a big comedy town.
Yeah.
So what made you stay here?
I got hired.
Obviously, but it's a touring company.
Yeah, I mean, it was a foot in the door in the Second City, which is, you know, the king of improv. And for me, it was, I could either, you know, take that and perform next week, or I could go to Chicago and start back at nothing and take classes again and work my way back up again and
build a name for yourself
again,
and do all that stuff.
But then also be, you know, a small fish in a giant pond.
Well, then again, all right, is the band still active? Can we say the name? Are you legal?
It was called Alupus.
Alupus? They still active?
Not really. I mean, like 2 months ago was the first time I played with them in like 10 years.
Reunion tour. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
The two of them are still in Chicago, and one is back in Ann Arbor.
Playing the hits you remember.
No, yeah, I did not remember many. It's been a long time.
So,
and as you get older, a bass is really heavy. All kinds of shoulder problems after that weekend.
Huh. Well, you've been out of practice for a decade, so I would imagine so. So, all right. When it comes down to improv, you got a bass to set up. You got the imagination. Now, improv, most people will kind of compare it to SNL.
Sure,
but SNL writes their sketches out a week. I saw the documentary. They write their schedule out a week within what works, what don't works. Improv is kind of like an on-the-spot type thing. I guess my question to that is, other than on-the-spot, but if something works, do you kind of keep it in rotation?
Nope. When it's done, it's done. I mean, we do sketch shows, and sometimes if we'll pull an improvised scene and write it and put it in a sketch show, but when the moment is done, it's done. I don't ever go back. I also have a terrible memory, so it's, I mean.
Oh, well, yeah, that would help.
By the time the set is done, I unless something really great happened or.
Wow, you are going to forget all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I'm talking about this right now.
Yeah, I'm so in the moment. Yeah, it's I don't know, I deal with that a lot.
We'll tweet you and let you know what's up.
Yeah.
When the hell did I do this?
But people will say, like, oh, I saw that, and it was great. Remember when you did this thing on the, you know, you were riding a horse, and everyone thought you were in Paris, but you weren't? I have no idea.
Wouldn't your improv instincts kick in right then and there? It was like, yes, I do remember. And remember the whole lie thing? It was like, yeah, hell yeah, it was fun.
I tried earlier. I used to try, but, like, it just happens enough that it's not a lie worth keeping on.
they don't kind of jog your memory, kind of try to poke you a little bit. Remember, you're wearing the blue shirt.
I just say thank you. And,
you're like, yeah, I'm that awesome. Yeah. I'm that awesome where I kind of forgot it all.
Yeah, no, but I mean, there's certainly people that think that they don't believe that improv is all made up. Or, you know, I've had people after shows say, like, well, I mean, that bit was written, right? Like, no, it really wasn't. The worst was we did a show, and there was a woman that came up afterwards, and she was like, that was terrific, but I used to improvise too, so I know that some of that was planned. And I was like, oh, then lady, you didn't improvise. That's not that's not what this is.
Look at you, like a little magician trying to out trick you. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know how he's doing that.
Right, yeah. No, you really don't.
So did she even try to even defend her point? Did she kind of come in?
She kept saying, like, come on, it's something. And I just gave up at that point.
Hell of an argument. Come on. Hell of an argument, baby. That is all the proof. I have used that argument. I wish I could shit on it, but I can't because I have used that argument. I will use that argument again.
That's the big clash right there.
Yeah, like, come on. Seriously. Come on. Really? In all honesty, if I say come on rapid fire for like a minute and a half, the victim's brain usually turns into, you know what? He has a point.
That or, oh, please stop. Okay, fine. You're right.
Yep. So you don't, since you don't write sketches or anything like that.
Well, I mean, I do. I just, like when we do the sketch shows.
Okay. All right. See, that's the confusion. You write the sketches, but your improv stuff is right on the stuff.
Yep.
That's just what it is.
Yep.
What were some of the... I'm going to go deep now. What was some of the sketches that didn't kind of make it? A real clunker.
How long is this podcast?
Huh? how much time you need, man. Just go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, it's... You know, when we write a sketch show, usually we try and write 3 shows worth of material, so that you can just pick the best show out of what's there, and leave the rest to die.
Okay.
Because it's with sketches, you got to bring in as much as you possibly can and write as much as you can, so that you see what works and see what fits together. I mean, because like the show that we have up right now is called Ahoy. And that is all set on a cruise ship. So like every scene is about people on this cruise ship. And so for that one, it all had to fit in the context. But with other shows, it's more like Saturday Night Live. So it's just a random collections of scenes, but you got to make sure that there's not, two dating scenes in it
or not too
many scenes that are about a certain, a joke or gimmick or, So sometimes there are good scenes that don't get in the shows just because there are other good scenes that are too similar.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So what do you do with the ones that's too similar? You're like, hey, I'll use those another time, or just kind of...
Yeah,
it just goes away.
Pretty much whoever in the cast wrote it, we'll just pull it back, and there are scenes that will show up later, and there are scenes that, are sitting in our Google Doc drive and will probably forever be there.
Okay. Now, all right. Now, we just kind of broke the parallels down. Improv is a team sport. You guys obviously seem close-knit because you got to trust each other with pretty much everything and the main people. Now, with other teams, do other teams kind of show up? Is there kind of like a arena of, okay, this team goes this night, this team goes this night, or is it all one big collective thing?
So, the show we do, the Go Comedy All-Star Showdown, which we do Fridays and Saturdays, there's 26 people in that cast, but 6 play each show. So
it's
a rotating group of people. On Sundays, we have like our best teams that play. So there's six teams that rotate every other week.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call our launch group, which is sort of a team that we put together of people that are kind of coming through the system that are ready for the next step, and they open up for every Sunday, and then otherwise, I mean, there's probably 30 different troops in the area, on Wednesdays there's opportunities for all of them to play. Like right now we're doing BITS, which is the Bailout Improv Tournament Spectacular, which is a March Madness bracket style.
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought of.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's 16 teams, and they 2 teams go up every Wednesday. The audience votes a winner, and then, mm-hmm. After 15 weeks of it, a winner is announced, and they win $1,000 and a run one night a week ago.
Okay. Yeah. Now, this is more of a standard question, but I think this would kind of relate in the world of performance as a whole.
Sure.
How do you end one? How do you end a clunker? Like, you're in the middle of a scene, and you're getting booed, do you take them out, or you just kind of walk off the stage like, yeah, we're done? When music, you could just stop playing,
right,
and you're done. Stand up, sit down. When you're a team up there, and you're giving your all, and you're not getting anything back, how do you win them back over? Do you guys have a collective word, like a safe word, where you just bail out?
No, the nice thing about improv is that if something isn't working, you can jump somewhere else. You can jump to a different, take the same character, put them in a different scene, mm-hmm. or just, end that scene and start a new one. Most improv sets are like 22 minutes long, so, whoever's in the booth, will look for the best joke they could find around the 22-minute mark and pull lights on it.
Okay.
But sometimes, what we call the mercy sweep, mm-hmm. Where if a scene is just... We're 5 minutes in, and we don't know who they are, and we don't know why they're so upset about whatever's in the box that they won't tell it. Like, then you just, end that scene as fast as you can, and they try real hard, and you start the new one, and hope that that one will be better than the last.
Because I've read in places, your answer is different from, well, I think this answer would be different from whoever's perspective it is. Like, I've heard guys like Will Ferrell say, if I'm bombing, I'm going to keep bombing, and I am going to bring the audience down with me. there's others, improvs, I just walk off stage and just kind of like, all right, we're going to just start from new. And do you guys take chances when you
go? Hell yeah. I mean, improv is always chances. I mean,
okay.
You know, I mean, you up until the audience yells a word out, we have no idea what it's going to be. So, you know, based on whatever word we get, it changes everything. So.
I'm sorry to keep comparing you to stuff, but is my brain trying to squeeze in to what I know, like stuff like Whose Line.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so our Friday Saturday show is similar to Whose Line.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. Because, like, if it's dying, I mean, with it being on TV, I would imagine they would take the best and squeeze it into 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, they film for hours for every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would imagine they just take the best ones, chop it up. Okay, we were awesome. All 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it's a nice thing about having a host for the show, for the games, so that mm-hmm. If a game is going off the rails or just really not working, they can get us out and start.
How do you pick
game.
A host?
Well, we have. I mean, at the theater, we have six or seven hosts that.
Okay.
They'll start emceeing like on Wednesday or Sunday, and then work their way up to host the showdown.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. We kind of talked about this off mic a little bit, but, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. that was a hand-fisted segue today.
That was beautiful. No, it was
well,
super
you're
smooth.
Do you use your – does it goes away? Does your improv talents and your super improv skills go away when you come home? And do you – because, trust me, as a parent myself, it's all improv.
Yeah.
It's like – I act like I know what the hell I'm doing all the time, and I have no clue.
When we started, when he was a baby, it was certainly like that. Mm-hmm. Like it was a lot of like, hey, I mean, people have been parenting for thousands of years. I'll figure it out as we go.
There's worse people than me that parent. Yep. That's immediately where I go. At least I'm not that guy.
Yep, there are people out there that are
JonBenet Ramsey. As long as I don't do that, I'm okay. Yep.
but my son's down in the second grade. Mm-hmm. And he's at that point where he's a lot more questioning about what's going on.
Mm.
So it's a lot. Children don't live in a world of logic. So it's real hard to.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm silent because I agree with you. Those who are listening to me, I am nodding. Yeah. I'm like, yep. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, none
but
of it.
Please continue.
So it's a lot harder to. I mean. So improv is not necessarily a skill that is great with 8-year-olds, but like for like bedtime stories, like we'll make up stories together at bedtime, which is always great. But as far as like parenting, he's at the point now where it's like just it's one piece of celery, just eat it, and mm-hmm. we're half an hour later, and there's a million reasons why not. And
you don't break out the improv skills like, all right, this celery will give you magic powers if you.
When you get to an 8-year-old man, you will see the magic only goes so far.
I was that guy. I mean, I am like I'm trying, and I know it's a lie. I guess that's what that adult part kicks in. Yeah. Where it's just like I know it's a lie, but whatever. Yeah. Let's try it.
Yeah, especially with things that like there are foods that I don't like, and it's hard to you have to eat that. I mean, I'm not going to eat that, but you have to eat that. And there's a point where it's like it's gross. I know. Don't worry about it.
So that's where I'm headed, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be great.
All right. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up of some of the stuff. It's two things I really want to bring up that I read this paper, and I have like 30 minutes left. It's an hour podcast. I don't want to hold up your whole day. But I'm going out of order. Usually I talk about hell gigs, usually with artists or performers, and you kind of told me how you're bailed out or whatever. We're going to hit that point, but one of the bullets I really want to talk to is some stuff you did. Like, you had careers in acting, you had careers in music. I don't know how to just say this, but I know you best from the Hungry Howie's commercial.
Right.
So, how did that happen?
You know, it was about 5 years ago now. they called the ad agency called the theater looking for improvisers to come out. And we get that, you know, now and again. People will call up. It's like a casting call, basically, for improvisers. And we sent 10 guys out for it, myself included. And
okay.
Made it through, you know, both rounds of the audition. And, you know, 5 years later, I'm hosting the Hungry Howie's Awards next week.
That's, like... You must kick ass at Parent Teacher Conference, man. Like, like, a career day. What do you do? I'm a banker. I'm an accountant. Next, PJJ Cokes. What did you tell me what you do? Check this shit out. You just walk in front of class. Dude, I fight dragons nightly. And then I'm awarded pizza. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Stay at school, kids.
Yeah, and my son's finally at an age now where it's cool.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when I first started doing him, he was in preschool. I was like, hey, Dad's on TV. Okay, what's, you know, back to whatever horrible show I'm watching.
But at that age, I would imagine, like, he's just coming to grips with everything where it's just kind of like, well, isn't everyone's dad on TV?
Yeah. But now he gets that it's special, so that's... That's pretty cool. It's I've heard him brag at school before, and that's awesome.
What did you have? What did you eat last night for dinner? I had beets. I had Hungry Howies. Suck it. And one of the other questions I want to get. Okay, so you found a way to kind of mix the two to get, well, kind of like, I guess, mixing the world together. Where I asked about parenting, because as a guy who made a good living doing my square job and doing this, this actually, I would have to explain this more. Like, why is Daddy telling dick jokes all over Twitter? It's like he has like hours of proof. I suck. Like, it's like, yeah, so many, just hours upon hours. So like,
that's your online legacy.
Yeah, that legacy is like, I would feel such a hypocrite if he says, like, a dirty word. I'm like, I made a nice little chunk of change of dirty words. Yeah. Time and place, boy. Time and place. That's all I got.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, I've already had that conversation with my son. Like, you know, the words have power, and you have to know how to use them. And once you know how to use them, go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm still in that verbatim.
Yeah.
Dead serious. I don't even, like, when I do my podcast, I don't listen to them once they're edited and uploaded.
Yep.
I will listen just to get that. He said what? Hold on. Let me... Time, place, words, and power. It's time, place, words, and power.
Yeah.
Made that up myself. Another thing I wanted to get on this podcast... I had to throw the Hungry Howie shout out. I have to. I'm just... That's where I know you from. And I dug for this backstory. If you don't mind, you get this every interview, and sorry. Can you please walk us through the best / worst day of your life?
Oh,
I don't even want to hint towards it a little bit, but please, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was June 11th of 2009, at 6 o'clock, it became clear that my wife and I were going to separate,
mm-hmm.
And then at 7 o'clock, I won $100,000, all within an hour, and it was, it was... Just like the epicenter of everything good and bad, and at this point, man, it seems like a million years ago. But But so that was, I mean, just every emotion you could possibly imagine, the depths of each one. Like, I said, you know,
I know. It's like
sad as can be.
Oh man,
all swirled into this Neapolitan.
It sucks. All of this is over. Let me get the phone.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, cause I went to work and I was upset and angrily cleaning, and I got this phone call from a number I didn't recognize, and I was like, yeah, for the hell, hello, what? Oh, wait, what?
Now, to those who don't know that, and this is even more mind blowing, and is you got the $100,000 for an essay you wrote about ice cream.
Yep, 150 words.
Edie's ice cream. All of this sounds like bullshit. Like, yeah. All of it.
Oh, I know. Believe me.
How many times have you had to tell someone, I'm serious?
Yeah. every time I tell the story, it, you know, it's and the thing is, like, I wrote. So it was called The Taste of Recovery. It was about if you won $100,000 from Edie's, how would you use the money to help, you know, in recovery, in economic recovery.
Okay.
And you know, it was, if you use Gmail, like the little ads pop up at the top, and it was one of those, and I clicked it, and I honestly didn't even remember writing it when we already established
you have a horrible memory.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'll do this real quick. You know, type, send, and then, you know, however much longer later, I got the phone
call.
Never
hear from him. Yeah.
But the other side of this is, so, this is a long story that I'm trying to figure
Please,
out where to
ahead.
Start.
No, you don't. Take whatever time you need. You act like I got something to do.
So I was, so my dad and my brother-in-law, my brother and I were supposed to go to Baltimore. This is like Memorial Day weekend, 2009. Mm-hmm. To watch the Tigers play the Orioles for a weekend. And on Monday of that week, I was not feeling great, so I went to the doctor just to, like, you know, just prevent anything that might be coming if I had a sore throat.
Yeah, check it out.
So I was there, and she was like, yeah, you're fine. It's just a little flu. Don't worry about it. Anything else? And it's like, oh, yeah, there's this, like, weird pain in my side. I don't think it's anything. And then she poked it, and I screamed, and she sent me to the hospital. To have my appendix removed. And it was while I was at the hospital recovering, like on morphine, like I was totally out of it, that I got the phone call saying I was a finalist in this contest that I did not know I had entered. And so I at least had the sound mind to say, hey, I'm in a hospital. Can you email me this?
Okay.
And so from 15,000 essays, they picked five. And the five... Those five each got a little flip camera.
Oh, okay.
Had to make a 2-minute video basically on the same topic as the essay, and then send that video in. So from the hospital, I got home, filmed it the next day, sent it in, and so then it was like 3 weeks later that I won that. So it was like a real weird. The whole thing was just a very strange trip.
Okay, I got it. I gotta ask, what was the Was there backlash a little bit, like, where, all right, you hear these Hollywood divorces and stuff like that, and stuff like, and it doesn't work out, where for some reason Heather Mills gets, like, the entire Beatles catalog.
Right, right.
Did you, like, at 8 o'clock get a knock on the door? Hey, I heard that phone call. Come on, pay up.
No. It ended up actually really, really being a blessing because we were able to, like, clear all of our debts.
Uh-huh.
So it was a real easy, yeah. Easy as they can be, and clean split. Like, there was no, you know, there was no debt. There was no real problem with it. You know? Huh. So it was it. And once you take taxes out, $100,000 is not all that much money.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
So I got a nice car and I bought a couch, and then, you know, and that was pretty much it.
Okay, because, like, I had a conversation with one of my friends today before his podcast, and, like, while trying to get notes and stuff together, we got on the subject of Hollywood divorces and stuff like that, and I have a huge... I'm not even that big of a Beatles fan. I like the Beatles.
Sure.
But I fucking hate Heather Mills. Like, like, that guy's a Beatle. Leave him alone. Had it been me, she'd have left with a box of left shoes and a Beatles anthology. And that would have been it. Like, you don't become a billionaire because of... And then I'm like, hey, let's ask PJ. Like, I hope and pray to God he didn't get a phone call. Like, remember that pen you borrowed to write that?
Yeah, no, it was easy as it could be.
All right, well, that's good.
And to be fair, I mean, Paul McCartney is 75 years old?
Yeah.
He's got to spend some time with a young woman, and he still is a good bajillionaire, so...
yeah, but still, man, you didn't write Abbey Road. You didn't.
No, she wasn't alive when it was written.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right, so that's cool. I'm pretty sure you got this question. This is like the hacky question thing, so I'm just going to get it out of the way. You must really like ice cream.
Not anymore.
Be honest, you're like, not anymore. Look what it did to me.
I used to weigh 140 pounds. Because they gave me a year's supply of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was a point, like, where my freezer was just ice cream. And so we had a party and just gave it away.
All right. I'm curious
I,
about
I still that. Like ice cream. I mean,
okay, but man, too much.
A communist.
I get it, but I got it. Hold on. When they say year supply, how do they ration that out? They
once
just
one a week.
So they think the average person eats ice cream once a week. So is it? So it's 52 gallons.
That's not a gallon.
All right, half gallon? I can see that being a year supply.
Yeah.
Did you eat 52 gallons of ice cream?
No. We gave away so much of it, and it was all in, it was all coupons. So it was.
Oh, okay. So you could just run to the store and just yeah. Okay. I thought they just dropped off a cooler in front of your house.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck with this, man. Different flavors, different. See, that's immediately when someone says year supply, they just haul a 18-wheeler of ice cream to your house and just like, all right, man, a Alita Keys in it. So drive it back when you're done.
So a lot of time spent in the Rite Aid freezer section.
Oh, man. So did you, at what week did you get fed up of ice cream?
By the time the summer was done. I mean, because I won it in June, so like.
Okay, June. Yeah, actually, June, July, August. Yeah.
By September, it was like, all right, I'm good. And then I don't think I used a coupon for, until February.
Do they go away, or is it just whenever?
It was a stack of 52 that was good for a year.
Oh, okay.
So, the last week they were good, I went out and got the last 20. And just, handing them away to whoever would take ice cream from me.
So, were you the creepy guy who walked past people at Rite Aid? Do you like ice cream?
I could have been.
No, I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor.
I was real close to that guy, but
we get a little bit towards the end, but these are some of the things I've read online.
Okay.
Well, read, I saw this one. You were part of the Mighty They.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the second half of the Silent 2. Not a lot of Silent 2 stuff on the internet, but please elaborate. What is the Silent 2?
Silent was a one-man show my brother did. Mm-hmm. And it was there were no words. It was all scenes to music, and all silent scenes.
Okay.
And I directed that one. And then the following summer, we thought like, hey, why don't we do it again? But this time I'll be in it. So we wrote a sequel to Silent called Silent 2, and this time it was both of us. But there was no dialogue of any kind. It was all just pantomime and big physical comedy scenes.
How do you fight the urge to talk?
It's real refreshing not to, honestly. It's
what you're saying is kryptonite to me. I mean, as a guy who just makes his bones talking, they're like, it's oddly refreshing.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible podcast.
Oh my God, it sucks.
This is Silent with Sam.
Yeah.
4 seconds in, I'm done.
4 seconds in, it's just strap in. It's just about 56 minutes more of this. Yeah.
It was a great show. Right? We talked about doing Silent 3 with my sister, but she's not an actress. She's a German PhD.
Okay.
And so it started off as a joke, and the more and more we talk about it, the more and more it actually might happen. But
I want to see that.
Probably next year.
Right, I would like to see. I mean, what did you do? Just walk me through a Silent 2 performance, just visually word painted.
So
I know it's irony that you have to talk about a silent show, but please indulge me.
There's a scene about two jugglers who were fighting. So while they were throwing like juggling pins around, they're also throwing like knives and bombs and stuff. Very cartoony,
Okay.
There was a scene about two guys who were drunk going back to their car, both telling the other person he was or not telling, but like both shaming the other person for being too drunk to drive, so they were going to be the ones to drive the car. What else? It was a baseball pitcher having a meltdown because everything he threw was a home run. But it was just big physical scenes, and we used all kinds of songs for it.
What song would you use, like the pitcher? We're both wearing Detroit Tigers caps. Yeah. It just occurred to me that we are. Shit, we are.
Yeah.
We are wearing, if those who didn't hear Tosh off mic, we wear cowboy t-shirts.
It's meant to be.
I know, I guess so. All right, stop it. Now it's just getting insulting. But I'm trying to remember my question and maintain a shred of professionalism.
My Own Worst Enemy by the band Lit.
Okay.
Was the baseball pitcher song. So,
please tell me why. Okay, yep. Yeah.
So every time it hit that, please tell me why, like, it'd be a home run. He would snap his neck back and then he'd start crying. And then eventually the coach came out and gave him a pep talk. And then it was a line drive hit right back at him. Down on that. And then the last scene, which was my favorite, was father and son. Father like pulled out a big storybook and was reading a bedtime story to his son. And whenever the song would like kick in, they would both like start acting out what was happening in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So one was like knights fighting, one was cowboys in a shootout, one was astronauts. Each time it kind of, and then it would go back to the, you know, telling the story, and then kick back in, it would go out. And it was cool. It was really touching scene.
Hey, the way to end it, you make people feel good on the way home. Aww. Here's some more of the things I've read online.
All
right. The building that is now Go Comedy is the old Secretary of State.
Yep. And Secretary of State closed in August of 2006, so 7 years ago. And as of yesterday, we still have people coming looking for the Secretary of State. We figured like the 4 year point, like when it was 2010 and everyone has had a chance to renew their license once, then we'd be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But 7 years later, and we're still.
They totally missed the big banner that says Go Comedy. It's on the door, too.
Yeah. Well, it's in the parking lot. It's on the awning. It's on the door. When you go inside the theater, the first thing you see is a bar. But people will still, you know, would get inside and then ask if this was the Secretary of State. And now our office is even one door over. So that means people go to the theater, see the sign that says our office is next door, and then go next door and still ask if this is the Secretary of State.
So why even? I don't get it. I mean, have you guys at any time just like, all right, we're just gonna have fun with this? Yes, it is.
Well, we have a sign above the bar that says no Secretary of State visitors since, and we update it every time someone comes in. So now it's since
as of
May 7th or whatever.
It's always one day. Is it the same guy?
No. No,
has it been multiple visitors?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's at least one a month.
No, what I mean by multiple visitors, someone you've seen before, and you had to tell them once, and then they came back like that was just a weird day at Secretary of State.
No, they get it. But yeah, usually it's someone who's a little bit older. But the guy that came by 2 days ago was probably 26, and they just really want to believe that it's there still.
One more things I read online, and I guess we can just move on to Hell Gig. When Go Comedy opened, apparently you ran around Ferndale going door to door telling people that Go Comedy was open.
Where did you read that one?
Google. It's like Google the 6-7 page. Apparently,
Google might have lied to you about that one.
Okay.
I mean, we marketed it, but I'm not going to anyone's doorstep.
Okay, that's why this is why we have this segment. I read online, like, because now I have this image of you running around Ferndale. You don't know me from Adam, but Go Comedy just opened. You should go check it out. All right, see you later. Go to next door. Hey, how you doing? Go Comedy just opened.
They would hate me.
I would do that just for the hell of it. For the story. PJ Jakes was arrested today. Why? His love of comedy. His love of improv comedy. He loved it so much.
The worst kind of door-to-door salesman.
You're not really selling anything.
Exactly.
You're just kind of like, if you want to go check it out, it's right down the street. And last, we close with this one, Hell Gig. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I've had a bunch of them. What was one where you just kind of like, how in the hell did we get through this? It was the worst possible thing, but whatever, we got through it.
So when I was at Second City, We were doing a show. It was touring a show that was first done in Chicago, called Paradigm Lost.
Okay.
And it had, you know, kind of a narrative to it. It wasn't a play necessarily, but there was, I mean, a story to it. And we were doing, and we traveled with it a lot. This one time we were doing it, it was at a rabbi's retirement party. So everyone there was real old. And the first act went just, there was not a single laugh. It was just.
Because nothing says comedy like deep religion. Right.
And so it was not going well. And we got to intermission, and it was like, all right, we can do this. We're just going to, you know, we're going to get to the second act. We can do this. And so we start the second act, and at the end of the first scene of the second act, someone in the back of the room yelled, "The dessert table is now open," and everybody got up and walked to the back and had nice loud conversations while they were getting, you know, banana cream pie. And yeah, it was just.
Did you keep going?
Oh yeah, you finished the show. We might have cut a scene or two on the fly, but
what did you do? What did you do?
We jumped a couple of scenes and finished the best we could.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad you made it through that, but that is so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, people walking out one at a time is never good, but when the whole room stands up and leaves, it's a special kind of lonely.
It's either them or ice cream. I pick ice cream. Bringing it back full circle. Well, PJ, that's... I hate to sound like a therapist here, but that's our hour.
All right.
But before you go, please, big plug, tell us where we can find it. Go Improv, comedy, where?
Go Comedy, downtown Ferndale, 9 Mile east of Woodward. We're open every Wednesday through Sunday. We do improv classes. We have 5 semesters in the year. The next semester starts first week of May. Second week of May, sorry. I basically live there, so I... you know, in any given week, I'm performing 2 to 4 nights.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then if you're a Hungry Howie's franchisee, you can see me hosting the Hungry Howie's Awards next week.
All right. Any social media stuff you want to get out? Please, get it all out.
Yeah, it's on Twitter, it's at jcoax, J-C-O-A-X.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on, you know, on the Facebook, and Go Comedy is at gotwits, or go twits if you... put the space in the wrong place.
I will make sure I put it on our Facebook and website. Because you have just confused the hell out of me. And I know it.
Yeah, no, I got our Twitter account like right when we opened, and it was like, oh, this is awesome. Got Wits. What a great name. And then someone was like, oh, go Twits. Oh, damn it. That's not what I wanted to be. But
okay.
Here we are.
Well, thanks. Okay. I mean... thanks. I don't know how to say this. I got to sign off myself.
Sure.
If anybody who needs to go, we're going to put that information up on the Facebook and tweet about it and all the good stuff. But as always, you can catch me, catch the podcast and all podcast related things at samshownation.com. Myself on Twitter, samshow11 at Twitter. Facebook / just talking with Sam. Look, it is harder than what it says. Just talking with Sam. And guys, I will see you next week. Peace out.